This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Last month, the Ministry of Women, Family and Community Development revealed out of more than 900 public listed companies, only 79 had achieved the 30% female participation quota in their board of directors. Recent government initiatives have been put in place to boost the number of women entering and re-entering the labour force, with the government targeting 59% female labour force participation in 2020, from the current figure of 54%. But how effective have these measures been? Are they addressing some of the underlying problems that restrict women's entry to and advancement in the workforce? Sarah Chen of Lean In Malaysia breaks down some of the hurdles women face in entering the job market.
First of all, the statistics are really quite troubling. Women are about 70% of the IPTA enrollment. So in universities, we have about 70% women, but only 40% of them are entering the workforce according to Permandu. And this then begs the question of why. So a few reasons come to mind. The first one being that at the entry point, women who are post-graduation are faced with multiple questions on what it is that is expected of them and what they truly want. Many times we have within our community in Malaysia a more Asian-centric approach where societal pressure results in women choosing to get married and sort of commit into becoming mothers and therefore taking the lion's share of familial obligations. And this then becomes a priority for them over having a career. That's not to say that women don't want to do that, but there is also some ambition gap amongst women where thinking about the societal construct where women are usually in the home and men are pressured to be the breadwinner and be the one that has the career. I mean, the expectation for women is that they will take the lion's share of familial obligation and they will take a step back if put in the situation to choose between family and a career.
Abir Abdul Rahim, also of Lean In Malaysia, talks about the government initiatives to bring women back into the workforce.
At the moment, there is no proper framework to support working mothers, but some initiatives by the government agency, for example, Talent Corp, where they give out incentives to local companies to get back women to the workforce. And Talent Corp's program via raising and recruit women, this is one of the policies that they are trying to push out. However, it's not being received well by companies at large. We have spoken about this with Talent Corp, and according to them, a lot of companies find they would have to send these women for trainings in order to get their momentum back. We need a lot of help here in terms of, number one, getting role models out there, especially men who are able to help women. But here, our context of helping is not merely assisting, but it's also in terms of mentoring and sponsoring women to advance women in society. And also for men to be able to speak openly on how they lean in together with their partners at home, and not just at home, but also at workplaces, for employers to start looking at women's merits instead of the women's personal situations. It's important for employers to prioritize the agenda of getting women back to the workforce as not a CSR, but an integrated plan for workforce development.
Sarah addresses the gender stereotypes which often restrict the ability of women to advance in top leadership.
Women by nature are expected to be more nurturing. And when they take on a different approach, which is what would sometimes be needed to succeed in a career, what are traditionally known as masculine qualities, being ambitious, being a little bit more assertive versus being communal, that then also stands in the way for women to really achieve the same things for their careers as compared to men. Likeability and success for women are almost inverse, whereas it's not the same case for men. This then creates another hurdle for women where we're expected to take on a different mode of leadership. But bear in mind that this is changing. In our experience, we've seen a lot of leaders that have been very positive in looking at both men and women as leaders that take on different characters. So it's not so much a gender issue, but a leadership personality issue. I think challenging our mindset and how we approach this, addressing unconscious bias at the senior levels in terms of how we view what is positive for the company, for the people that we hire, that's really going to change the game.
However, Sarah believes the responsibility of bringing women back into the labour force does not rest solely on the government's shoulders.
I think when we look at the measures, there are multiple measures that have been put in place, right? So we talk about job quotas, we talk about career comeback programs, incentives, flexi hours and things like that. Let's look at the statistics, right? So via Talent Corp, who we constantly also continue to engage with, in 2015, we hear over 250 women had returned to the workforce under the Career Comeback Program, reportedly bringing in with them some 15 million ringgit in cumulative income. They were actually coming in at middle management position, mostly with monthly salary average of about 4,700 ringgit. Now, this is great as a start, but bear in mind that this is small compared to the women who are dropping out from the workforce. And we start from, in Malaysia, as of 2015, of 14.5 million persons in the entire labour force. This issue of women in leadership does not rest on the shoulders of government alone, but the people from families. You know, how do you balance your obligations? And then as a business leader, most business leaders, unfortunately, do not view women in leadership as a key priority. When we look at flexible work arrangements, out of the top 130 companies in Malaysia, only 35% have implemented this.
What about the 30% quota in top management? Sarah thinks the quota is a good place to start, but we must be careful to ensure women's skills are developed properly and they are not placed simply to make up the numbers.
When you start off sort of in the initial stages, quotas can be important for some societies. It's worked for some, it's failed for some. And for us, we targeted 30% on the boards. This year, we're 15%. But what we need to do is really develop the pipeline of women of merit. So we are completely against women just being put there for number's sake. Diversity is not just a number, but a key strategy for productivity and growth. So when we talk about how effective these measures have been, I think we are starting on the right foot, but more needs to be done. And we need to up the game a lot more, because if we don't take a role in terms of businesses, MNCs, SMEs, we're going to continue to lose out, and gender parity is going to be a huge issue for us as a society. We will be losing out GDP. Women are about 50% of the global population, but only contribute to 37% of the GDP.
Abir underlines that in order to bring women to the table as equals, men must also be involved in the conversation.
So we encourage men to lean into the conversation, because we really believe that in order to make a difference in the society and make a difference in this conversation, it's not always about women, women, women. We also include men in the conversation, and it's also a way to address that stereotyping women is indirectly stereotyping men. It's time to just normalize that women can be leaders or women are leaders, and that everyone should be credited based on their own merits. Moving forward, that's what organization Lean In Malaysia will be working on in terms of including everyone in this conversation.
That was Abir Abdul Rahim, and earlier you heard from Sarah Chen. They are the co-founders of Lean In Malaysia. BFM has reached out to the Ministry of Women, Family and Community Development, but they have declined to comment.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.